Please open your Bibles to Proverbs 27:19. Continuing, getting close to the finish line of Proverbs. Last week the title was Open Rebuke is Better Than Love Carefully Concealed. And so it's something that people don't do face to face, as we mentioned last week, but we should. We should lovingly be able to encourage one another, because I don't know about you, but we can be prone. I can be prone to just going astray. And it's nice to know that people that love us can sit there and say, what are you doing? At any time when we're stepping out of line. But picking up in covering 19 and 20, which we ended with last week, Proverbs 27:19, it says, as in water, face reflects face, so a man's heart reveals the man. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. And we ended with that, saying that a man's heart reveals the man, and the man's heart is revealed by what comes out of our mouth, we studied. And so a Christian should pursue letting the Holy Spirit control our mouth instead of our flesh. Because if the Holy Spirit's, you know, taking charge of our mouth, then that means he's in there. When people profess to know him and there's no sign, no glorification of Jesus, everything else, still talking like the world and everything, then there's something wrong, according to the scripture, because God changes the heart and that changes the mouth. Verse 21, the refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, and a man is valued by what others say of him. Silver and gold can be tested by fire, is what it's saying. You test gold and silver, how pure it is, by fire. And so a person under fire is tested as to what kind of a man or woman she is. And that's why God allows tribulation, trials to come into our life, because it says that if under fire, the testing gets rid of the garbage in our life and we reflect the faith and trust in Jesus as our Savior, then it becomes precious, doesn't it? As a witness to the world of how things are. So it's hard to maintain a good reputation, wouldn't you say? It's very hard. How hard is it to get rid of it, to lose it? So easy. And it can be something that again, we've had these examples of something that happens decades ago and somebody finds out and just smears, and nothing matters after that. And so every day we need to realize that at every moment we are in a potential to make it difficult for our witness to be maintained. And of course, God can give us grace and mercy when we fall, and we can continue to be used by God, and we can pick up from there, but it just becomes more difficult. And so, it's good to have a good reputation. Now, of course, the world isn't going to say anything good about you because of your love for Jesus, but it's talking about, the way Peter put it, is if they're going to say something bad, don't let it be anything other than your love for Jesus. You know, paraphrasing. Don't let it be because you're a thief or this or that. Let it be because of your relationship with Jesus that they speak bad about you, and not because you've given them a reason, because you've lost your witness under trial. Verse 22, though you grind a fool in a mortar with a pestle, along with crushed grain, yet his foolishness will not depart from him. And does everybody know a mortar and a pestle? You have a jar, and then you have a pestle, and you're just grinding, and that's where you would grind and break up the grain so that you could make flour. And so you're really destroying what's in there. It's basically, if you put a fool in there and you're doing that to him, in other words, major discipline, etc., but he's a fool, it's not going to matter. There are some people that there is nothing you're going to be able to do. Do we see that in the world today? You sit there, some people you can argue, you can give them 1,000 different reasons why they're being foolish, and they look at you like you're from some other planet. And it's funny for them to talk about us, and they say, what planet are you from? You know, just because we have a fear of God. Well, actually, I really am from a different place, but I'm down here to tell you about that other place. It's called heaven, where Jesus rules. And I know you're in this world where everybody wants to be in rebellion and hatred against the God who created us, but, you know, you want to go to my world. I am, you know, we are definitely from a different world. And it brings up this verse, Matthew 7:6, where Jesus himself said, "Don't give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces." And actually, in our men's retreat, somebody asked, "How do you know whether somebody's a swine?" And I said, "Yeah, it's tough. I don't really like to, I try, what I shared then is we should try to talk to anybody, because we don't know who the swine are. But we have to realize as Christians, sometimes you just need to discern, maybe after one conversation, I'm wasting my time. That this is, I'm going to be pounced on. And so I need to concentrate on those, finding the humble, finding the people that aren't fools, and witness to them. A lot of us can be challenged almost to do the impossible. I know a young man that's like that. He gravitates towards spending very long periods of time with people that do not want to listen. He's friendly to them, but he spends all this time. And I've told him, why not look for some other fish? Instead of fishing the same pond with the same bottom dwellers, why not go to a different pond that has some people that are open? Because you have such great apologetic skills that you're wasting on these people for years. Some of them are friends for years that don't want to listen. Verse 23, "Be diligent to know the state of your flocks and attend to your herds, for riches are not forever, nor does a crown," a nation, it's talking about a throne, a dynasty, a nation, "nor does a crown endure to all generations." He's saying be thoughtful to plan your financial future. Nothing stays the same. You know, we think that everything's going to be staying the same. It's not. You're going to get old. You're not going to be able to work. Things are going to happen. And you need to look into the future. Be sure to take care of what you have. And even nations don't last forever. Can we say with pretty strong assurance America's not going to be around in a couple hundred years? I mean, you technically could. I mean, it's kind of a fluke, actually, that we've been around for 200 years with relative tranquility. I mean, that is just a freak of nature, a freak of history. And so everything in this world is shifting sand. Everything's going to go away. Our lives can be shifting. We should be thinking about what's really important in life, like we're learning in Ecclesiastes on Sunday. What's important? Stay invested in that. Realize the stuff of this world is vanity and going to fluff away, and try and live our life in service to Jesus. And financially and everything else, think about what we're doing, which the next verses gives practical advice how to do so. Verse 25, "When the hay is removed and the tender grass shows itself and the herbs of the mountains are gathered in, the lambs will provide your clothing and the goats the price for a field. You shall have enough goat's milk for your food, for the food of your household and the nourishment of your maidservants. Plant hay, harvest it when it's time. Plant grass, harvest it when it's time. Do the herbs of the mountains and harvest that when it's in their time. Gather it all in. Now you have a flock that you can feed because you've been working and doing those things. You got a flock. And some of the lambs are going to provide the wool for your clothing. And then you got goats for goat's milk, but you're going to have to sell some of your goats. You're going to have to replenish your herd. Have enough care for your herds." Like verse 23 said, be careful to be diligent about the state of your flocks, so that those goats you can sell to be able to have some pocket change, maybe to buy some more food, more property, so that you have your children. You know, in other words, be diligent. Now, if you were to just be a totally unbiased person, who's the most diligent people on the face of the planet? Throughout history, throughout the hundreds of years, the Jews. I mean, the Jews are the most incredibly financially wise people on the face of the earth. And because why? These are their scriptures. I mean, they're also blessed by God. But as a people, think about them being able to do the things that, some of it is miraculous. I watched some more history this week about the War of Independence in Israel, and just miracle after miracle that was happening. The people that would come to their aid, David and Ben, it was about the first general. Did you know that the first general of the Israeli army in the 1948 War of Independence was an American World War II officer? And God miraculously gave him a heart to want to come to Israel to help the Jews coordinate their army to defend against impossible odds. He felt like doing that. And he died the day before the UN ceasefire happened in the Four-Year War. Because he had gone out at night, God gave him the wisdom to put in a brand new road in 2 weeks. It should have taken months. All the people in Israel gathered together to make the road, industriously to make the road to go away from the road that the Arabs had snipered and made impossible to get provisions into the Jewish quarter of Jerusalem. And so it was like, if we don't get this road in, Jerusalem will be lost. In the 1948 War of Independence. The day he got the road in, and then they got the road in, ceasefire came in, it was a road that supplied West Jerusalem that allowed the Jews to stay in Jerusalem and to allow Jerusalem to be spared miraculously. And then that night, he went out in the night and he just walking around, came back, a guard mistook him for an Arab because he couldn't speak Hebrew and shot him. And David Ben-Gurion, the Prime Minister of Israel, wrote his widow and said, he was our most important man. You know, I wasn't even going to share this, but I'm just, diligence, it's just, and he was a Jew. He was a Jew, he was going to go back to live in America. But just, there's a diligence. God wants us to be diligent about what we're doing, thinking about what we're doing. Looking at what matters, what is important for when we're in the child-rearing years, to make it really important that your children grow up to know how to take care of the state of their flocks instead of their trigger finger on the computer console. You know, just to get them able to provide for themselves and to do things, to be diligent. Otherwise, it's family economics 101. Right here in this verse, the Jews took it to heart. Simple advice, hard to do. And the wicked flee when no one pursues, chapter 28, verse 1. But the righteous are bold as a lion. Now, I'm going to ask the question. It's basically saying the wicked are cowards. So why are the wicked cowards? Why do you think, what's the root reason why a wicked person is a coward? Huh?
Guilt.
Guilt? A wicked person is all about who?
Himself.
Self-absorbed. So what happens in the face of battle that a wicked person thinks he might die?
Self-preservation.
Self-preservation, self-runs. Self doesn't. But what about the army? What about the nation? What about the war? What about the buddy next to you that's not running with you? You don't care about them. You don't care a squat. So you run. Because the wicked run, because they're all self-absorbed. Why are the righteous as bold as a lion? You know, what did Jesus say? There is no greater love has any man than this. Then he lays down his life for his friend. And so, kind of going back, my mind's... Yeah.
What you do in the face of the philosophy that says you can't love others before you love yourself.
And we'll talk about that in just a second. But so, you know, what I've been learning about Israeli history is if it wasn't for incredible lack of love for self, they wouldn't be a nation. And if we die to our own cares and concerns, we're more useful to other people, right? We're going to be more useful. So no greater love has any man than this, that he laid down his life for his friend. And then the question was, somebody asked the question off of the verse, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, how can I love my neighbor if I don't love myself first? So I got to love myself. Jesus didn't say, love your neighbor so you can love yourself. It's such a twist of scripture because he didn't say that. What did he say? Love your neighbor as you love yourself. You go, sure, you love yourself. See, we're born with self-love. We're born with self-centeredness. The wicked stay that way. The wicked stay, I'm only caring about myself. What Jesus came to do is saying, stop it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself, and you'll really love your neighbor. You know, die to yourself and live for others. Live for them. And you can look at it spiritually. You can look at it physically. There's a new movie coming out about the three guys that saved a trainload of people in the terrorist attack. And from what I understand, I haven't seen the movie, and I don't even know the whole true story, but I've heard that they were Christians. And they just totally... And I heard one of them quoted as saying, just the Holy Spirit came on me, and I just did what was right. And so they were just like, they could have been self-preserved and run faster than the other guys there and got out of the train and just let everybody get slaughtered. But they just jumped right in and did it. And that's what this scripture is saying. The righteous, God-fearing people who love God take no consideration for themselves or as bold as a lion. Because of the transgression of a land, many are its princes, but a man of understanding and knowledge right will be prolonged. And it's talking about kings. If a king is full of transgression, then there will be many kings, many princesses. If the land is full of sin and rebellion against God, there's going to be leader after leader. Why? What's probably going to happen in that nation that's going to result in many leaders? Coup d'etats, assassinations, graft and corruption, all this other stuff is going to happen. Now, which out of the Israeli nation, which nation was more corrupt? When they, after their civil war, there was Israel in the north, 10 tribes, Judah in the south, 2 tribes. And which one is more corrupt? Northern Israel. In fact, sometimes the kings of the south would get, he was a good king, like his father, like David. But in the north, never a good king. Never. And in the north, there was 19 kings and 9 dynasties. 9 times kings were assassinated or coup d'etat in a way that their name ran out. They were killed and their name and a new dynasty came. How many dynasties were there in the south? Just one dynasty. The Davidic dynasty lasted all the way till Jesus. And there were 12 during the time of 19 kings in the north, there was 12 kings of the south. So it's just a fact that if we end up with wicked kings, presidents, congressmen, etc., judges in this country, we can expect so much chaos that all of a sudden there's going to be prince after prince after prince, ruler after ruler because of chaos that comes. In some cases, like North Korea, etc., you avoid that because of what? What is it that can avoid it? Absolute tyrannical leadership that just slaughters anybody that gets in the way. So you either get tyranny or lots of change of leadership. Verse 3, a poor man who oppresses the poor is like a driving rain which leaves no food. And what it implies is that a poor man coming to power, that a poor man who wants to get back at society and how can a poor man oppress the poor? Unless it's really talking about, in light of the context of this section of scripture, it's talking about the wisdom and foolishness of kings. Somebody that rises up and that just oppresses, the people. It's like a driving rain that just wipes out the crops and starves the people. Verse 4, those who forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. Again, this is dealing with leadership. If the leadership forsakes the law, if we become lawless, then you praise the wicked. Who are the wicked? The lawless. It's when the lawless get to power, they surround themselves with lawlessness. And they feel like there is no law that pertains to them. And then destruction comes. It amazes me. It amazes me too how there's been so much lawlessness. And There are some people in the new administration, Trump's administration, that are trying and exposing and bringing to light the lawlessness, but they're fighting over whether or not we should be allowed to see how much lawlessness was there. And it just amazes me that people would want to cover it up, and you see these congressmen getting in front of the TV and they go, oh, no, this can't come out. This just can't. This would be treasonous. You know, it's not treasonous to be lawless, but it's treasonous to expose a lawlessness. I mean, how crazy is this, that what's happening in our country? And that's why I wanted to pray. We are in a very perilous time. And you're hearing nothing in the media about the value of the dollar. It is collapsing. It is going down rapidly. Like, hasn't happened this rapidly in a long time. You're hearing nothing. Some people are speculating the rest of the world is realizing, looking at America and our lawlessness and the things that are shocking to them, that, in fact, somebody was asked, I might have shared this a couple of years ago, on this government shutdown that we had, and people in a foreign country, there's somebody traveling in a foreign country, and the people in the foreign country goes, how in the world does your country care more about illegal aliens than your own citizens? And the world's just going like, what is wrong with you people? And you're the reserve currency of the world? You're the currency that we trade. Everything in the world gets traded through the American dollar, and you guys are this corrupt and you are this broken. And so some are speculating that's what's making it dive, along with the fact that the Russians and the Chinese have, over the last couple, 3 years, they have been saying, let's forget them. We know where they're going. We know they just have the biggest printing press in the history of the world, and they're just enslaving us. Let's make our own gold-backed yuan currency from China, and we'll start getting people to trade in the Chinese currency. And that is just starting to happen. And so, he who forsakes the law praises the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them, and we better pray. Because we're having a war right now with those who are contending with the wicked who want to be lawless, and if they don't win, the future's going to be bleak. And it is a full court press. It is unbelievable. And may God help us. Evil men do not understand justice, going right along the same theme. Evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand all. Do you ever ask yourself, how could they not see this? How can they not understand we're destroying our country? Can't you? We're destroying the rule of law. That we're destroying through all these different programs and stuff that have gone on that are so godless, that, you know, destroying our children in the womb. Destroy. Don't you understand what that's going to do to us? And they look at us like we're the idiots. Because evil men cannot, will not understand justice. And again, a reason why they won't release, quote, the memo. we don't want the memo, because if justice comes to a wicked man, what happens? You know, it's like, we can't let the justice allow people to know, because then they'll demand justice, and that justice will come upon me, the wicked. And so they're so driven for self-preservation that they cannot understand justice. Better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one perverse in his ways, though he be rich. So the Bible is clearly teaching here that being poor is not a sign of spiritual lack, right? Just because you're poor doesn't mean you're spiritually lacking. Just because you're rich doesn't mean you're spiritually approved. What's really important here? Integrity. To live our Christian lives with integrity. To not lie, to not slander, to not malign, to live in holiness, to not be in sexual immorality, to not, you know, all the Ten Commandments, all laws, live in integrity, not getting, you know, going off in the things of the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Live in integrity is more important than anything. And if that means you're going to be poor, then so be it. Or makes you rich, who cares? Your integrity is worth more than anything. Whoever keeps the law is a discerning son, but a companion of gluttons, and actually King James is riotous. In the Hebrew, it really means loose morally. So a companion of morally loose people shames his father. Isn't that true? I'd be shamed if I knew my sons were out there. Hey, Dad, we're going to go out and enjoy the nightlife tonight. No, I don't want you to do that. You're a son of mine. You bear the name Lee. I would be ashamed of it. We don't care. We're going to go do what we're going to do. It'd be shameful. And may God help us to raise our children not to be riotous in their living. One who increases his possessions by usury and extortion gathers it for him who will pity the poor, because they'll be judged by God, is what's really implied. Usury, again, it's charging exorbitant interest on people. And extortion is to, hey, if you don't do this, if you don't give me some money, I'm going to break your fingers. Whatever. Happens all the time. In fact, it's pretty much how politics is ruled in this country these days, is they get dirt on somebody. They find dirt on somebody. Use the FBI, CIA, NSA, whatever else it takes. They get dirt on somebody. And then they say, you know, we'd like your vote on this. I don't want it. My constituents wouldn't want me to vote like that. I promised them when I was running for election that I wouldn't vote like that. Well, if you don't do that, then we've got this pictures, we've got this audio, we have this phone communication, we have this knowledge, we have this witness, we have whatever. And extortion is happening all over this country. And it has corrupted our politics, it's corrupted our people. And the best way to not be extorted is to not give anybody a chance to hear anything on the phone, see anything you do on the computer, nothing, nothing, nothing. I've said this so many times. And it's just a great way to live, to just think, I don't care who's listening. I don't care who's watching. I don't care what's happening. They have to lie to make up something. I mean, I don't want to give them something for real. That's a worthy goal, isn't it, to do that? It's going to be tough to do. But the people that do live that way, I mean, they extort and gather wealth and power to themselves. Boy, I'd sure hate to be them on Judgment Day, because they will go down. One who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. You know, people say that, should we be asking people that don't believe in our Jesus to pray? I'll go pray about it. No, until you have a relationship with Jesus, you're lawless. I mean, and again, not lawless because they didn't do enough dues, but I mean, God has commanded people everywhere, believe in my son Jesus Christ. And by rejecting that in the sense that God is concerned about, you're rejecting, you're lawless. You have rejected the grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And as I said, there's several scriptures in the Bible that talk about God not hearing the wicked and the lawless. And so we should tell people, you got to get right with Jesus before you talk to him. That first prayer should be, God, forgive me, a sinner. Because before I got saved, it was all self-centered. It was all because of what I wanted. God, give me this. And if you don't give it to me, I'm going to... You thought I was bad before. Wait until you don't give me what I want. Even though I didn't believe in God, I'd pray those kind of prayers. So, whoever causes the upright to go astray in an evil way, he himself will fall into his own pit, but the blameless will inherit good. And there's no greater parallel passage, I think, than Jesus himself in Luke chapter 17, verse 1, when he said to his disciples, it is impossible that offenses should come. It's impossible that no offenses should come. It's impossible that no offenses should come. There's going to be people in the world that lead people astray. They're going to be deceived by Satan, and they're going to try and deceive people away from the truth. But woe to him through whom they do come. Woe to them if they're going to be used by Satan to lead people astray. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. You see, Proverbs says, whoever causes the upright to go astray in an evil way, he himself will fall into his own pit. He'll fall into hell. He'll fall into the pit trying to get people to get away from service to Jesus. Has that ever happened? Do people try and do that? All the time. All the time. Even when I was in high school, and I've shared this story before, but just won't belabor it, but it was my mission to corrupt this one Christian girl and succeeded in getting her to get drunk as my going away into the Navy party. And we all rejoiced. We invited her to the party. No, my parents don't want me to go. Come to the party. It's just I'm going into the Navy. And, I'll be gone. And so, won't you, and so finally she goes, okay, but I'm not going to drink. Oh, yeah, sure, no. Yeah, not going to drink. And so then she goes, just one. Have you ever had anything? No, my parents wouldn't want me. No. Okay, but just have a drink. And then she got drunk. And then she had a grand mal seizure the next day, probably from drinking for the first time so heavily. And, I look back at that. I'm so glad Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Because of this verse. I went in the Navy. I never knew what happened. I don't know what happened after that. It could have been horrible. And God forgive me. But I wasn't even going to say that. I don't know why I said it again. Except for watch your children. Watch them. Watch your grandchildren. Because there's people like me before Jesus that are out there to just try and get people to go astray. I could give you example after example. It doesn't involve me. Satan has sent people into children's lives, children of friends of mine, children of people that wanted to raise their children to serve Jesus, and had people go in and destroy them because they're there. So again, if parents teach their children Proverbs, they can say, this is happening in your world. The rich man is wise in his own eyes, but the poor who has understanding searches him out. A poor man who loves God can understand the self-deception of the rich man and not fall into his trap. That's what it's saying. People go, I'm rich and you're serving Jesus and you don't have a job. All over communist Russia and everything else, you're a Christian, you're a street sweeper. That was it. Didn't get into college, didn't get anything. Persecution like that could come here. So, yeah, you're poor, and you can get rich if you just deny Jesus. Oh, no, I can discern. I don't care. I see your deception. And I look into the future. I see the end. I see heaven with my Savior Jesus. I'm going to serve him until I drop. Amen? So. I think we'll stop there with interest of time. And isn't Proverbs awesome? It is. These scriptures are close to 3,000 years old. Close to 3,000 years old. And we've seen tonight how so much of it applies to the very land that we're living. It applies to our hearts. It applies to our souls. It applies to our environment that we're in. Because the Word of God is alive and sharper than a two-edged sword. It's breathed by God. It's real. He created us. He knows His creation. He knows the fallenness. He knows Satan and his tactics. And He warns us. May God help us to listen. Because we listen, we live. And if we ignore, it's to our own hurt. Father, we thank You for Your Word. And pray that You would just help us to... God, that You would just help us to be the light in these days and help us to have compassion on those that are lost and to discern the wicked and to not be their fodder. We so pray for our leadership. We pray that somehow, Lord, we could break out of this spiral of lawlessness and spiraling decay of lawlessness, and we could get a reprieve of the evil that swept our land. I've been embraced by so many of our citizens. God, just like Daniel prayed for his country, we have violated your word in so many ways. We have spilt the blood of innocents in our streets in so many ways. And God, we know it's all an abomination to You, and we deserve whatever comes. But we pray that somehow there could be a turning away from our rebellion and You could allow us to have a reprieve of of what we've been experiencing. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship God.
We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, into the house of the Lord.
It's a wonderful praising sacrifice, and we get to do it because of Jesus giving us a relationship with God. Amen. God bless you until we can fellowship again.